come to worship. And we actually get the title of this series from one of the scriptures that we went through. In fact, just last week, we covered this, Matthew 2, verses 1 through 2, and it's right here for you. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." The wise men that are part of the Christmas story, that's who the Magi are. They went to worship Jesus. When they wanted to experience Jesus, why did they go? Simply to worship him. Which is kind of hard for us to kind of grasp, actually, in our society. Because when we want to experience Jesus, many times in Western culture, it's not to just simply worship him. It's because there's something that we need. And we treat God as if he's like our cosmic genie or something like that. You know, like if we get the lamp and we rub it the right way, that he's going to pop out and he's going to grant us our wishes that we want. But we don't really think that, right? Like, we're not going to find a lamp. So instead, what we do is we say, if I say the right prayer, then he will grant my prayer. Like, "Thou holiest heavenly God above." You know, like, you have to be able to say, like, King James Version, you know, because only God hears in King James or something like that. You know, like, we think that God was created just to grant our wishes. But that is not the case at all. In fact, God was not created. We just sang that he is, he was, he always will be. He is not created for us to be able to grant us our wishes. Here's the big takeaway that we have for this entire series. If there's one thing I can get you to grasp through this entire series, is that God was not created for us, but that you are created to worship God. That's why you were created. What were you put on this planet for? To know him and to make him known. You are created to worship God. I explained last week for me and looking at our church that I've been evaluating our church. And for me, I see our church and I think, man, we're doing a lot of things really, really well. I'm excited about where God is bringing us. In fact, just in the past year, we've grown almost 80% in 1 year, which is phenomenal, right? Like, it's just exciting to see what God is doing within this community of believers. And I think we're doing a lot of things well, but there's some things that I think that we need to be able to kind of step up a little bit. And one of those is in the area of worship. John 4:23 says this, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks." What I desire for our church is that we will be known as worshipers. That we will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. That when somebody asks, what is it about Focus 314? That they can say, man, that is a church full of worshipers. Well, how do you know that? Because they worship the Father. They simply worship the Father. And so for me, looking at our church and desiring for each of us to be worshipers, as I'm evaluating our church, I want to ask you to do this. I want to ask you to individually evaluate where you are. Are you a true worshiper? Do you worship the Father? Or do you just simply come to church, you sit back, relax, and it's all about you, what God is speaking to you? Or have you come to worship him? Why are you here? What is the purpose that you are here today for? The Magi, when they wanted to experience Jesus, they simply said, I'm going to come to worship. Not I need something, not that it's about me. I have come to worship Jesus. My prayer is that you will experience Jesus and that you have come to worship him. And that's what we're talking about throughout this entire series. And today what we're going to talk about specifically is the posture of worship when we lift our hands. When we lift our hands, does anybody ever wonder, like, why do you lift your hands and worship? In fact, sometimes, like, how many of you, maybe you didn't grow up in church, or maybe you grew up in a church that, man, you did not raise your hands at all. Anybody like that way? Yeah, right? Like, my grandparents, when I would go and visit their church, it's all hymns, you know, and nobody, you're not even standing. Don't stand while you sing a song. You better sit down and you pull the hymn book out and everybody's just singing like this. And it's like, where did everybody get baritone voices from? You know, like anybody ever go to a church like that? That was my grandparents' church. That's the kind of church that I went to. And so like going into a church that people raise their hands, kind of what you see here every once in a while, is that I don't know if you were not exposed to it or you're not familiar with it, but sometimes it can be a little awkward, can it? Like you're not used to it. If you're not familiar with somebody raising your hands, it's a little awkward. Like you come in and like, especially if you're coming through this door and I'm sitting right in the front, you know, and for me, I get into worship a little bit. Like I can't help it. And I'll explain that in a little bit. And I'm sitting in there, I'm like this, you know, and like somebody walks in and they're like, what the heck is wrong with that guy over there? You know, like, but you know, they're like, you're like, okay, there's something real going on, but I'm not sure if I should look at it. It's kind of like somebody making out, right? Like, you know that that's a real emotional thing, but I don't want to see it. Like, that's the thing about raising your hands a little bit, isn't it? Right? Like, it really is. It can be awkward. It could feel uncomfortable. In fact, there's a comedian, Tim Hawkins is his name, and he makes fun of people raising their hands. He's got names for the different ways that you raise your hands, because different churches, like, you can raise your hands a little bit, but don't get crazy about it, you know? Like, so he calls this one, you know, like, you're going to be real subtle. Like this one right here, like you have, maybe you, even like the first time you were like, okay, I'm going to go to church and I'm going to raise my hands this morning. And like, and that's as far as you got. Like, man, I did it, right? All right. Woo, that was awesome. So he calls this one right here, this is carrying the TV. This is carrying the TV right here, right? Like, okay, I'm going to church. I'm going to carry the TV. I'm carrying the TV. You know, and then if you get really excited, then it can go, I got a big screen right here. You know, like you got a little bit more excited. Or then you can transition a little bit from this to like, okay, now I'm going to bring it up. Like, hey, I caught a fish and it was this big. You know, like, you know, or if like the song was really good, like one of them today, you know, like me, I get to this one. Man, I'm a liar. It was this big. This is how big that fish was today, you know? Like, there's different ways that you can raise your hands and worship. It, you know, one of them, how about this one? Like, you see this one? God's number one. He's number one. God's number one right there, right? God's number one. Or for me, this is one of my favorite moves. See, I got my hand in my pocket. Got my hand. See, I'm praising God. I'm passionate, but I'm also chill. I'm very, very chill right here. Like, I know I'm still a stud. That's it. But I'm passionate about God, you know? But then, and then you can transition from this one. Like, I'm cool. I'm praising God. I got a little heartburn right here. Yeah. Back to passionate. Back to heartburn right here. Yeah. Like, that's one of my favorite moves right there. But then if it gets, like, over the top, worship is phenomenal. You're just sitting here, you know, like, touchdown, baby. Touchdown Jesus right here. Yes, I love me some Jesus. Like, there's different ways that we can raise our hands, isn't there? And so what I'm hoping to do today is to be able to kind of get away from the awkwardness of it and help us to understand, why do people raise their hands? Why does Scripture talk about lifting up hands? And so what I'm hoping today will happen is that it will help walk you through some of the awkwardness of it. And it will also challenge you to understand, this is why I lift up my hands. This is why I should lift up my hands. And there's going to be a challenge. And I'm just going to let you know that at the end of this service, that we're going to have the worship team come back up. And there's going to be a challenge for us to be able to lift our hands to worship God. So if you are in a place where it's uncomfortable, I just want to let you know this is what's going to happen today. And hopefully, by the end of this message, that you're going to be in a place where you're going to be able to do that. You're going to feel a freedom to be able to do that and understand why it is that we truly do worship our hands. As we begin today's message, as we're going through this, I want to look at a couple of scriptures before we get into the whys about it. And the first one that I want to look at is found in Psalms chapter 63. In Psalm chapter 63, this is a passage where David is in a bad place. David wrote this psalm, which means a song. And King David was in a bad place. There was some darkness going in. He's in the wilderness. He's going through a really, really difficult time. And so as we look at this passage, I want you to keep that in mind, that things aren't happy and glorious for David. Things are really, really difficult for David. And we start here by saying, he says this in verse 1. You, God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being My whole, like in my soul, in the deepness, my whole being longs for you. In a dry and parched land where there's no water. And my thought is this, as we begin this passage, is I was wondering how many people might be in this place right here, where you're going through a really difficult time. David's in a bad place. Man, it feels like his soul is just, it's just dry. It's barren. Man, maybe you have a relationship that it's just sucking the life out of you. You're in a bad place. And you're sitting there saying, God, I never imagined that my life would come to this point right here. Specifically now, right? Like during the Christmas season, it's so interesting to me that for many people, it's an amazing time of the year. It's a happy time of the year. But for many other people, man, it's really difficult, isn't it? Because I think this about Christmas, that it heightens our senses. And so when things are good, things are really, really good during Christmas. But when there's hard times, it seems like it's a really, really hard time. And it brings us to this point. And so maybe you've come in here today, and you're in a place just like where David's at. And it's dry. My soul is dry. It's parched. And my prayer is that maybe you will respond just the way that David did in verse 2. He said, I have seen you in the sanctuary, and I have beheld your power and your glory. And then I just love this verse so much. Because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. Man, I can relate to this so much. That I was in a place. Many of you that have come to our church, you know that when I was in the Marine Corps, man, I was in a place where I was far from God. I was not serving God. My life was in a trajectory that was very, very different from where I am today. I was in a dry and a parched land with destructive behaviors and destructive relationships. But God, he did this amazing thing on a Monday morning as I'm sitting around having a conversation with some buddies as I'm in front of we called it the chow truck, which is like a food truck. We were in front of there. I was getting a breakfast burrito, and all these guys are telling these stories. And man, I felt God smack me upside the back of the head, and he said this to my soul. He said, I have created you for more than just this. And man, I began to experience the love of Christ on a Monday morning in the Marine Corps in a way that I never had before. And his love was better than my life. And now my lips will glorify his name. It doesn't matter what happens to me. It doesn't matter where I'm at. It doesn't matter what's going on, the situations. Man, my lips are going to glorify his name. Always, at all times, there's no way that the rocks are going to shout out, because I'm going to be the one who's screaming out the name of Jesus for what he has done inside of my life. I love that passage. Man, his love is better than life. Anything that I was living before was nothing compared to who he was and what he was going to do inside of me. Anybody can relate to that today? Man, David understood this. He said, I've beheld this before. I've seen it. I know that your love is better than life. I'm in a bad place, but I know how good and how great my God is. And then go ahead in verse 4. He said, I will praise you as long as I live. I will praise you as long as I live. I'm in a bad place, but it doesn't matter. You could take away my life. I'm going to praise you as long as I live. And your name, I will lift up my hands. Your name, I will lift up my hands. See, I don't know what that is about. Why is it that David says, I will lift up my hands? Because I think it's a natural or even a supernatural response to experiencing who Jesus is, because his love is better than life. Like for me, man, you can see me on Sunday morning. Those of you that are back in the ready room back there, like I'm hopping around, I'm getting excited, I'm getting pumped up, and because man, his love is better than life. Like, I'm not always like crazy like that during the week, you know. I'm kind of calm, but then all of a sudden Sunday comes around, and I start to hear the music, and the band is going, and I'm like, man, I'm gonna worship my God right now. Like I start getting excited. I'm gonna be in a place full of people who know Jesus or who I know are going to know him very soon. And we're gonna be able to get together. We're gonna be able to glorify his name. And I'm gonna lift my hands. And when I come in here, like you guys can see that those of you that are in here already, man, I'm getting all amped up. I'll come walking in this room and I wanna like run to these seats, but I know like, all right, I look crazy enough as it is. If I come running in here, people are like, what the heck is going on with this dude, you know? Like, I want to run over here because I want to start to worship my God. Man, it's a supernatural response because his love is better than life. How do I know that? I've experienced it. He has saved me. He saved me from my sins. He saved me from those relationships. He saved me from myself. His love is better than life. Can I get an amen? Come on, somebody. That's so good right there. It's a natural, supernatural response to his love being better than life. 1 Timothy, I love this instruction that Paul gives Timothy found here in 1 Timothy 2:8. This is so important. In fact, we're gonna pause a little bit on this. He said, therefore, I want the men everywhere to pray. Now, many times in Scripture, depending on the translation that you have, that you can read something and it says man or mankind. And what that means is it's an inclusive term for humankind. It's men and women together. And in fact, if you have one of the more modern translations, we'll actually translate it humans or humankind instead of just mankind to be all inclusive in that so that we understand. But that's not the case right here. Paul is speaking specifically to the men. He says, I want the men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or disputing. He said, I want the men to do this. Now, I don't know the exact reason why, but I can speculate because I've seen it and I've experienced church for quite a while to understand why Paul is saying he wants the men to pray and to lift up their hands. And here's the reason why I think that Paul is saying this, is because I believe many times, for most men, we are the last ones to pray and to lift our hands. We are the last ones to do this. And Paul is saying, men, I want you to pray and I want you to lift your hands. Why is that? It feels more of like an emotional thing, right? And men, we're not supposed to show our emotions as much, you know? We're supposed to be cool, calm, collected. Raise your hands is a little bit of an emotional response. Maybe it feels too much like a chick thing to do. I don't know. But there's a reason for that, that there's something inside that we're kind of the last ones to be able to raise our hands. You know? I'm gonna sit here. I might sing. Ain't nobody gonna hear me sing. I'll just like mouth the words, you know? That's kind of how it gets to be sometimes. But Paul is saying, men, you need to pray. Men, you need to lift your hands. Men, I want you to lock on me for a second. I want you to be able to look at me. Men, here, up here, lock on me. I'm not joking around. I'm going to challenge you. I'm serious about this. When Paul says, men, pray. Men, lift up their hands. I'm not joking around when I say this. Men, don't you dare let your wife out-worship you. Men, don't you dare let your children out-worship you. You want to see your kids raise up and have a heart after God? Then you need to have a heart after God. Men in this church, I want to encourage you. Like I said, we're going to stop later on and we're going to have a chance to be able to worship our God. I want to challenge you. Who's going to be the first ones to raise their hands when we begin to sing later on? Men, I want to see you doing it. Why? Because you should be leading your home. You should be leading the church. Paul is saying, men, pray. Men, lift up your hands. It's time for us to be able to follow Scripture. Men, it's time for us to be able to stand up and take the role that God wants us to be able to take. It is for us. We need to be able to do that. It's time for us to be able to worship God. Anybody ready to do that? I'm excited about that. Why do we do this, though? So why do we raise our hands? Why do we do it? Well, here's a couple of reasons that we're going to talk about. Why do we raise our hands? Number one, I believe this. Because God loves it. God loves it when we raise our hands. Just an example. Man, I love being a dad. It is like one of my favorite things in the entire world, being a dad. I have two boys. I have an 8-year-old and a 4-year-old, and I just love being a dad. I love being able to hang out with them, be silly and gross and all of that stuff, and helping them become men of God. You know, my prayer is that they will become mighty men of God, and I want to be there to help give them instruction and all of that. And I just love being a dad. In fact, just on Thursday, myself, Jenny, and the family members, we went to Bass Pro Shop to see Santa. It's a tradition for us. If you don't go there, like, it's awesome, man. Like, they just take care of you, and it's all free, and it's fantastic. We've done it ever since my oldest was born, and so we haven't missed it in 8 years, going to Bass Pro Shop. It's tradition for us. And so afterwards, we're driving home from Bass Pro Shop, and we live out here, so it's about like a, you know, 20-25 minute drive coming down the 202, and my boys are boys, all right? Like it's funny, like farts are funny in my house, okay? So they got really tickled because they were talking about poop, okay? I know it's really gross and it's silly, but it was cracking me up, man. They're laughing about some poop. And so here's what my wife and I did. This is what we did. We started singing the 12 Days of Christmas. But instead of labeling everything like a partridge in a pear tree, we said a partridge in a poop tree. And these boys are cracking up, man. Like, they are laughing hysterically, like, 5 golden poops. It was phenomenal. It was gross and disgusting, and we were laughing our tails off. It was one of those that they're laughing, that belly laugh, you know, and they're like crying, and it was gross and disgusting, and it was a moment that they will never forget. It's a moment that I'm going to cherish for the rest of my life because I love being a dad. I love being around these crazy kids. And I tell you what, when these two boys, when they come to me, and they have their arms outstretched, ready for me to be able to pick him up, my world stops. My world stops at that moment. It doesn't matter what stress is going on around me. It doesn't matter what financial things are going on. It doesn't matter if I just got in a fight with my wife. Man, my world stops because I see these boys wanting me to be able to pick them up and to be able to hold them. When their arms go up, my heart goes out. I want to be able to be with these kids. And I got to tell you, there's not a loving father in the world who doesn't see outstretched arms and doesn't want to be able to just lift those kids up. In fact, this morning, it was perfect timing. I was even thinking about it. It was just perfect timing. Man, this morning, Joanne is sitting there smiling. They were staying over at our house, and they have a little kid, Finley. And Finley's just, man, he's just a bundle of cuteness is what he is. He's amazing with these curly hair. And we're leaving this morning. And Finley, he's not excited that we're leaving. And so he comes running up to me, and he puts his arms out. And I was like, oh, heck yeah, man, come here. Come on, Uncle Darren. I'm your favorite uncle. Remember that. You know, like, it was an amazing moment. And I just wanted to be able to pick him up and hug him. And I was like, you're coming with us, buddy. Like, yeah, I don't care if you're in pajamas and diaper, you know, you're coming with us. It's one of those amazing moments when you see those kids' arms go up, your heart goes out. God loves it when you raise your arms. He loves it when you lift up your hands. James 4:8 says this. It says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. When your hands go up, his heart goes out. He absolutely loves it to see our adoration of what's going on inside of our heart as an outward expression of just saying, God, I love you so much. With hands raised, I love you, God. Why do we raise our hands? First one, because God loves it. Why else? It's an offering of praise. It is an offering of praise. Look at Psalms 141. It says, I call to you, Lord, come quickly to me. Hear me when I call to you. May my prayer be set before you like an incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. It is an offering. God, you have touched my heart so much. And this inward thing that is going on, I am going to lift up my hands as an outward expression of me offering you my heart, my whole life, everything about me. Lord Jesus, here it is. Take me, I am yours. Send me wherever it is that you want me to go. It is an offering of praise of what is happening on the inside of us. Why do we raise our hands? God loves it. It is an offering of praise. And the last one is this. We lift our hands when we are declaring battle. What does that mean? Let's look at Exodus 17. There's a story of Moses and the Israelites going through this journey to get to the promised land. And there's this amazing moment that happens right here. The Amalekites came to attack the Israelites from Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out and fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." Continue on. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. This is an amazing moment right here. I want you to be able to see something. Winning, losing. Winning, losing. Trusting God, tired. I want to be able to win. I want to see you be able to win. There's something going on inside of your life. There's something going on, some situation that you need to God to come through, and you need to be able to lift your hands to declare battle on that situation. God, it's not me that's going to be able to come through. I need you to do this. All of those army, Joshua brought all those fighting men to be able to attack the Amalekites. He could not do it on his own power, but when God was on their side, they were winning. Who's ready to win today? We need to be able to declare battle on whatever situation that is going on inside of your life. It's time to say, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to lift up my hands. I'm going to praise you no matter what is going on in my life, that you are going to come through. Winning, losing. Who's ready to win today? Well, sometimes we get tired, don't we? Sometimes raising your hands, like anybody, like, you go, you get to church and you're like, man, this is a great song. I wouldn't mind for it to stop right now. I'm getting a shoulder workout right now. You know, like you get a little tired, don't you? Your arms get tired. You got a situation that's been going on for way too long. You've been dealing with health issues. You've been dealing with relationships, and it's gone on way too long. And you're getting tired. It's hard to raise our hands over and over and over again, isn't it? Yeah, I've declared battle, and the battle's still waging. I can't have this. I'm weary. It's time for me to be able to lower them. And as soon as you do, as soon as you stop trusting God in that moment, man, it seems like you just start getting hit even more, even more. I'm winning. I'm so tired. You start to lose. Moses was in this exact same place. Look at what he says right here. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone, put it under him, and he sat on it. Then Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Man, it's hard to be able to hold our hands up by ourselves. It's hard to be able to do this. I'm praising you, God. I'm trying to trust you, but it doesn't seem like it's stopping. I'm getting tired and I'm getting weary. And here's what we need. We need somebody like Aaron and Hur to be able to come up alongside of us. Jonathan and James, you want to be able to come up here? See, I got to tell you for myself. I want to be able to stay on this side. I got to tell you for myself. Even in a church where we are right now, I miss things. I don't know every situation. I don't know everything that goes on. And I wish I did. I wish I could be there for every single person at every single moment, but I know I can't. And I miss things, and it breaks my heart. There's times when we have great victories in our church and we see amazing things happen. Man, I got to tell you, last Sunday was an amazing Sunday. In fact, this, I want to share a story with you really quickly that after service, after church, we just got done with Blessing 314. If you weren't here for our church during the month of November every year, we just give money out and we send it out into the community and just ask somebody from our church to be the hands and feet of our church to be a blessing to somebody. And on the last week of Blessing 314, I said, hey, instead of us going out, how about we take care of somebody in our church? And it was an amazing moment. I got to tell you, like myself and one of our other leaders, we went up and we blessed that person. And that I told you before, like, I can't wait to be able to see that family crying. That family didn't cry, but one of our leaders did. It was fantastic, you know, like, that was so great. And then last week, somebody came up to me and they said, hey, we got a financial blessing and it was unexpected. And so we'd love to be able to bless somebody in your church. Do you know of anybody? And that exact same family that our church was able to bless just went through another difficult time. And we were able to come up to them and say, you know what? God's got your back. I know you're going through a tough time, but God's got your back. And I believe that God has our back. There's amazing moments that we have, but there's some that are very, very difficult and they get discouraging. And when that happens, my hands begin to fall down. I'm tired. We have Jonathan and James sitting here, and they're going to help me raise my hands up. And these two guys are just representatives of other leadership that we have inside this church, that we're not here by ourselves. We're not doing this all by ourselves. Man, there's Aaron and there's her that are right beside me to be able to raise my hands up, to be able to help lead us into battle, to be able to say, man, the battle is not ours. The battle is the Lord's. It's not against flesh and blood. Man, it's against principalities and spirits of this dark world, and that we are going to overcome. We're going to overcome the Amalekites. We're going to overcome these situations because we're standing together. Let me tell you something. I know that there are some people in here right now who are getting tired. I desperately want to be an Aaron to you. I want to be a her to you. I want to be able to come alongside you, and not just myself, but everybody in this church, where we can lift each other up, where we can spur each other on. We can lift up each other's hands because the battle is the Lord's. It's time for us to be able to get together, to lift up our hands, and to be able to trust God. Why do we lift up our hands? Historically, forget about even scripture. Why do people lift their hands up? Why do they do that? Man, yesterday was kind of the final day of college football season, right? It was a great day. I love college football. And my man over here, Pastor James, graduated from the University of Oklahoma. Oh, my goodness gracious. Just keep quiet up here, man. You just be eye candy, all right, for a second. And yesterday was a great day for him. They played in this little game called Bedlam, played Oklahoma State. And what happened?
They won.
Yep. Why do we raise our hands traditionally? Number one, victory. How did you do it? Oh, man, Oklahoma, right? Whatever. Yeah, whatever. Why do you raise your hands? Victory. Victory. What's the other reason why we raise our hands? Traditionally, why do people raise their hands? Surrender. Surrender. Somebody's got a gun to your back. What do? You're in battle. Lay down your arms. I'm raising my hands. Why do we raise our hands? For victory and for surrender. And let me tell you something. This is an amazing moment. When we raise our hands, when we surrender to God, there is victory found in God simultaneously. When we surrender to God, God, I'm giving it all to you today. It's not by my will, it's not by my might that it's going to be done. I surrender to you today. There is victory that is found in God at that exact same moment. It might not be that all those situations are gone, but your heart is going to change. You are going to trust Him more than ever before. When you surrender to God, you are going to find victory today. Today, I pray that inside of your heart, you're going to surrender your will over to God, and that today is a day for you to find victory. Can you please stand with me today? I truly truly, desperately want our church to be known as a church full of worshipers. I truly, desperately want you to find victory today. I truly, desperately desire for your heart to become fully surrendered to God. And so right now, I'm just going to say this. I don't care if you're a Christian or if you're not a Christian. Man, just let this be an experiment for you. What is this experience going to be like? What is it for this crazy man on the front row to just look like this because he just loves God so much? We're going to sing this song that we just did before. And I want to encourage every single person, every single hand. You don't even have to have the cool one going on, man. Both of them. It's time for surrender. It's time for some victory. I want to encourage. I want to challenge. I beg of you. Take this challenge and this experience. Lift up your hands to God so that today you can find surrender and victory in the exact same moment. Right. Mike, you want to lead us? I pray that we will truly be true worshipers and that we will be excited. We will be overjoyed when they say to us, let us go to the house of the Lord and worship our God. I'm going to be closing out the service with one last prayer of blessing. And as I do that, I want to ask for our prayer teams to be able to come forward. They're going to be standing just right here on the edge of the stage. And the reason why they come is that I know that there are people that have come into this place. There's a need that you have. There's something going on inside of your life and that we want to be here to pray for you, to reach out and to connect with God in the spiritual need that you have, the physical need that you have, the financial need, the relational need, that we want to help pray for you in this moment. And so there, our prayer teams are going to be right here for you. And for those of you that maybe it's uncomfortable for you to go up and tell somebody what's going on and you just don't want to do that, there's a welcome card that you received as you were coming in. And that's for all of our guests to fill that out. And those of you that are our guests, I just ask for you to take that and take it to our guest central area right outside. We have a gift for you for our first, second, third time guests. We just have a gift for you. Just our way of saying thank you so much for being here. But there's also a space at the bottom of that for a prayer request. And if you don't feel comfortable coming up and telling somebody, you can just hand them that card. They're going to get it to our prayer teams and our prayer chain. And we as a church, we're going to be able to pray for you at that moment. And so if you want to do that, there's that spot on there. On the flip side of that card, there's also a couple of questions that if God was beginning to move inside of your life today and there was something going on, that there's a couple of questions on there that you might want to be able to fill out and take to our guest central area as well. I'm going to say one last prayer, blessing. We got prayer teams to be able to come up and be here. Awesome, fantastic. And so I just want to be able to pray one last prayer, blessing for you, and we'll be able to be dismissed today. Lord Jesus, we come before you today. We love you so much, Lord God, that we will offer our hands and our hearts to you. Lord, that you love it and we love you, Lord God. And I pray that you will continue to pour out your spirit upon our church and upon the people that are here today. God, bless their homes. Let your face shine upon them during this season, Lord God. Allow their hearts to be overjoyed. Lord God, we love you and we praise you. In your mighty name we pray, amen and peace out.